Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery. Additional support provided by Deer Camp Coffee and Yeti Coolers.
Hey guys, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. Myself, Dave Thomas, tonight, along with Jamie and Tim and Matt from the ATA Show. Matt, how are you doing?
Outstanding. How are you guys?
Great.
Not bad.
So,
not bad.
You know, life's been busy and it's been crazy. And we're all on these type of video calls all the time. So I guess let's just start with the really important questions. What's going on at ATA? What's the plan and what's next? Let's get right to it.
You're not even
going to take up the next 45 minutes.
How have you been, man?
You're not even going to ask me one at a time. I've given that answer and probably to you guys so many times that it starts to feel like I'm lying to people when I give it. But I think better than I probably ought to be. I think the ATA is better than it ought to be. I think, you know, you asked how things are going. I think the industry, forget better than it ought to be, the industry is doing outstanding. I'm sure you guys are seeing it.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to a single shop or manufacturer who's not, maybe they're not having a record year because it was so bad to start, but they're having record months and quarters. And forget that. Look at state license sales. Look at harvest records. There was a youth turkey hunt weekend, and now I'm forgetting which state, and they took more turkeys with that youth weekend than they normally take an entire season.
Wow. Yeah.
This was last year already. So, and that's not archery and bow hunting. That's everybody. I talk a lot with Marine, with sport fishing, with NSSF. Outdoor rec, the campgrounds, ATV sales. They can't keep RVs in stock. They can't keep boats. And people for the last year have wanted to get outside. And it's not like, you know, the last time, you guys remember what the last archery and bow hunting bump was, right? What caused that?
Crossbows.
Stop it. Movies, right? I mean, it was this big entertainment bump.
Hunger Games.
That's why my daughter started shooting. And this is not that. This isn't a fictional character that made kids
where it's gonna wear off and
this is literally, I couldn't find meat in the grocery store, right? And they're not gonna let me go see a movie. Well, I'm gonna go outside, you know. No. All of that, it's been outstanding. I think this is sustainable.
I think so too. And I think a lot of that, and I mean us three guys, Jamie, myself, and Dave, have all witnessed that, you know, just personally, you know, when back before COVID and before all this stay at home and the grocery rush and all that stuff, it was hard to find time, right? You got to pick and choose your battles as to when you're going to go and how you're going to hunt and where you're going to hunt. Well, you know, we were able to, and bless, we're very blessed that we were able to maintain our, you know, our own jobs during this, but we were able to get out to hunt camp, you know, during the week and do our work from hunt camp and still hunt more than we ever had last year, just because we were able to free up that time.
Well, talk about free time. And it's not just about folks who've been able to keep their jobs and thank God, you know, jobs started coming back 8-9 months ago, big time. Right. But,
yeah.
But also you got so many, there are a ton of jobs where you can't work from home, but there are a ton of jobs where before this people were like, no, if I can't see you, I don't know you're working. Yep. That's not true anymore. And I don't care what that office job was, but now if you're working from home, my wife's commute was sometimes 2 hours one way, 13 miles in Atlanta. Yeah. She's saving that time. She's got time on her hands now that she didn't have before. That's not her. That's anybody working from home has a little extra time, and you're more efficient working from home a lot of times. So yeah, you got extra free time, and you could get out, you know, maybe you can get out in the morning where you couldn't, if you were trying to go to the office. Maybe you can go on an evening sit, afternoon sit, if you couldn't before. So yeah, I mean, everything has changed. And, you know, forget the people who want to say it's all been garbage and it's all been bad. There've been some positive that's come out of this for sure.
100%, man. Yeah. I can't agree with you more. And I think that speaks volumes to the way the industry has responded too. Right. I mean, the archery industry, the outdoor industry in general, like you were saying, they've had some record numbers coming in regards to people getting more and more interested in being outside. But they've also themselves, regardless of the sales and everything that are coming in, really were able to quickly move how they advertise, how they get in front of their people. And they were able to really move into this digital world faster than anybody thought was possible for our industry that is, you know, historically behind the times, you know, in regards to advertising and marketing and digitalization of their content. So
yes, it's been great to see, because there's, at the same time, there's still been this really serious push to go see your pro shop, right?
Yeah.
To go see that person nearby you who can help you out. Which that's another, you know, it's been really cool to see pro shops get more engaged with training and shoots and outdoor target events and that kind of stuff, where, you know, where before they may not have wanted to or didn't think it was important to their business. Well, now in the last year, I think a lot of them have discovered that for sure.
Yeah. I don't think there was a single company that we had on back in the fall season, right? When everybody, you know, big sales in the fall time as always, I don't think there's a single company that we didn't have on that didn't mention the dealer support that they provide and trying to push people into the dealers to make sure that they knew, hey, dealers are still there. You know, they're still open. Go see them. Our products are there. Go test them out. You know, I think that was the thing, is everybody was so super supportive of that dealer network. It was amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's going on, Matt? You got to give us the lowdown. What are you guys thinking, I guess, right now for next year? What's the plan in your mind?
Never more excited for a trade show. And that's not ATA saying that. That's me telling you what we're hearing, what we're seeing. We typically, this far out from a show, we might have anywhere from 300 to 400 renewals of memberships. We're over 950
wow.
right now. A ton of retailer excitement, which is important. You know, it's critically important that we've got manufacturers there who want to sell product, to have product to sell, product to show. Super important. If there aren't any buyers there, nobody's going. Why would you come, right? So really, really great energy from the retailer side of the membership for sure. And just in terms of membership renewals, you know, last year at this time, we were having to delay and delay and delay and say, okay, we're not going to start any process until I think it was July, right? Well, booth selection is going to start May 18th. It's going to take us about a month to kind of fill out the floor and see where we're at on this. Is it going to be the floor that we've had before? No, it's not. There are companies who've changed the way they do business. everybody has, right? Yeah. So we expect some change there. What that's going to look like, I don't have the crystal ball. I would love to have one, but we're prepared for some of that change. And then once we see how that floor fills out, then registration starts, and that's where really kind of the rubber meets the road of who's coming. But right now I can tell you sponsorship sales have been stronger than we anticipated. Anecdotally, interest in the show is stronger than we anticipated from both retailers and manufacturers. I got to call out, I'm debating whether I'm just going to do it. I hate to call out one member over another, right? And build them up, because then somebody else is going to feel bad. But you got, I've done this enough with you. You know, I don't have much of a filter. Arrow, which is one of the big archery buy groups, did a great thing for their members, and they knew we needed a little help, right? So rather than encourage their members to renew their memberships, they just cut a check to ATA and said, okay, historically, if you've been a member of Arrow and ATA, we're just going to renew you with ATA right out of the gate. Well, a huge shot in the arm, just for commitment. And they're with NABA and with other groups, they're one of those who say, you're coming to the show. You know what? If you're going to buy from us, you need to come to the show. So they were already reinforcing and being great partners for us anyway. But that was just to see that come across was huge. I think it sends a huge message to the retailers in the US, and sends a huge message, not just to their membership, but to our board of directors, to the manufacturers, to say there's a big commitment here. And look, I'd be a fool if I was going to sit here and tell you everything that I've heard has been positive. It hasn't. You guys know that. You hear and see the same things that we do. But the reality is we were in a very strong financial position as a trade association, stronger than most nonprofit trade groups that I've talked to. Thank God for Jay and the boards that have been going back 21 years to build us to a point where we could withstand something like this. And it's not that we've withstood it. It's that we've come through very, very strong. This last year was incredibly tough for us. While manufacturers and retailers, some of whom are having record years, right? We've already talked about that, but that doesn't trickle down to us. We didn't have a show, right? So we've got to fight through that year of not having a show. At the same time, you know, launching Bowhunters United, which is starting to gain a little traction, and the board is more passionate about making that successful than probably anything else we're doing right now outside of the trade show. So we've come through this, you know, able to start new things, able to continue to evolve the show, and in a position that, you know, I started out saying I'm better than I ought to be. ATA is better off than it ought to be. ATA is better off than most of its contemporaries in the space. And I'm super excited, and we're seeing that out in membership as well.
Well, I think, you know, Arrow stepping up and doing what they did just kind of proves the faith that people have in your organization, right? I mean, it is an amazing, and everybody thinks the ATA show as an event, right? But it's not. It's not like you guys doing a show, shut down, and then pick it back up when the next show is starting. Yeah. You guys do so much more than the ATA shows throughout the year, you know, within the industry and everything like that. And that just speaks volumes to how people view the ATA in general, in regards to what you do and what you give it back and how important you guys are in the industry. So kudos to you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. And we've heard that, especially from our board of directors, more than we've heard most anything else, because, you know, one of the things we had to do is take a look at literally every penny that we're spending. And so rather than, you know, paying somebody else as a customer to do some work for us, we found folks in-house who could do that same work. We found, you know, people who could code a landing page for a trade show in-house, somebody who's, it's a skill we didn't know they had. One of the, it sounds so bizarre now to look back and say it, but one of the coolest things that came out of those early few months of being locked down was the coloring book that we made available, especially to retailers, but any member. One of our staffers came up with that and designed it. And that just it seems like such a small thing now, but you look back and you think about how much of a struggle it was for parents to keep kids entertained, and here we are, this little archery organization, trying to help in literally every way that we can. And we found those kind of surprising skills all over the team, especially in those early few months.
I laugh because I was home with two of them myself, and it's a challenge, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
You?
I can. For sure. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I was going to say, Matt, that so during the online ATA show this past year, you guys held and hosted the media summit, which we took part in. And I would say that these are the part of the things about the ATA that I think people might not realize sometimes is you guys are kind of like the glue that bonds everybody together. And, you know, bringing together all these media organizations to work on one project's hashtag Let's Hunt, which is what we were working on. It, you know, it's a genius thing and it helps everybody, you know, and comes a point where somebody has to step up and say, we're going to be the glue and you guys come, we'll attach everything and we'll work together to grow the heritage. Cause unfortunately, if you don't have an ATA or you guys aren't there to help bring that puzzle together, I don't see us working together individually. It just doesn't seem to happen in this industry. Unfortunately, other ones it does, but not this one. And I think that with you guys kind of like leading that charge, it works so good. So good.
I appreciate that. And we learned a lot. And Tim, I heard your comment about, as Dave was talking there about how great the media summit was, I would say we came out of that saying we can do so much better. You know, it was great to pull folks together, but we learned a ton about facilitating a discussion like that and really came out with so many notes about what we could do better next time to make it better for those watching, to make it better for you for you guys participating. But yeah, the hashtag Let's Hunt thing, you know, that I agree. There are things, there's going to be a hand for every member, whether it's a media member, manufacturer, retailer, distributor, whatever, there's going to be a handful of things where they look at what we can provide to members and they go, I don't need that. Shoot, that might be the majority of the roster of things that we can provide to members. They might say, I don't need that. I don't need you to help me procure insurance. I can do that on my own. But then there's other items like you just mentioned, like our collaboration with other outdoor rec industries, where you couldn't do that as a standalone member. It's just not going to be possible. Sure, you can do some grassroots lobbying, as it were, in your state on a regional or local issue. To do that nationwide, as we just did, to kind of try and re-educate every state director on some definition issues. It can be done, but the efficiency with which we can do that has been really great.
Well, I mean, you guys just think, what I love is that you guys aren't reactive, you're proactive in what you do, right? In regards to looking towards the future. And, you know, I equate that to kind of what you guys have going on with Bow Hunters United. And I don't know if everybody listening even knows what that is. So you could start off, Matt, by just kind of explaining what that is, so that people kind of get a sense of what you're trying to do there.
Yeah. Well, and then I heard you say, you know, proactive rather than reactive. We try, but I think the other, we're not always going to be, we can't,
nobody's perfect, right?
No. And, I mean, and sometimes we get too close to an issue to see something else that might be going on. So I'm also proud of how we have been reactive when something has been brought to our attention.
Great point.
If we can take a step on it, we'll take a step on it. Now, when a retailer comes and says, you need to tell manufacturers when to release product, we can't. The law doesn't allow us to do that. I'd go to prison if we did that. I'm not willing to do that. So there's some things that we can and can't engage on. Bowhuntersunited.com and Bowhunters United on the socials is really a gift from industry to bow hunters. Industry has for years, much longer than the 3.5 years that I've been here, has for years been saying, boy, wouldn't it be great if bow hunters had a voice? This is an attempt to give them that voice. Now, that said, the first thing we did was we executed a nationwide study to see if there was a place for an organization like this, most importantly, that would not leech off of existing conservation groups, existing organizations that are so important to whitetails, to turkey, to whatever species you want to go after, however you want to hunt. And it came back that, yeah, there's space for this. We can do this, you know, in a way that's not going to harm other existing great organizations. So yes, it's a place to give a voice to bow hunters. It's a place that, and we're building up exclusive content, exclusive podcasts, members only kind of stuff that we certainly hope to work with organizations like yours on. Again, not leeching off of existing audiences, but trying to build on those partnerships. And really, you know, we're not even a year into it in its infancy, and trying to build it slowly to a point where now we're ready to try and take it much, much bigger. You know, however many couple million bow hunters out there, a few million bow hunters out there, maybe 4.5, depending on who you ask, you know, if we could get, you know, 10, 15, 20% of those to get together, how much policy change do you think that we could make for access, for seasonality issues, state by state, or even at the federal level? A ton. Because right now there's not a single voice strictly for bow hunters. And it really is about being a voice for folks who want to approach it the right way. And so, you know, I know I'm probably not giving it its due, but I'd encourage folks just go out and search and take a look at it. You guys have been great partners from the outset for us on Bow Hunters United. And it's anecdotally, we're hearing a lot. We're starting to get out into the field and go to consumer shows. We've already done one. You know, you guys were talking before we even started here about how, and then once we started, you know, about how you're working from home, and boy, are people traveling. I'll tell you, we just did a show in Wisconsin a few weeks ago at Wisconsin Dells, and it was packed. And we had a little Bow Hunters United stand there, and I think we probably talked to 650 people who would be at least interested in taking a look at this. So that's one small event, and we're doing a whole lot more to try and spread that message.
That's awesome, man. And I got to say a couple things. First of all, whoever created the logo, great job. It's not all about compounds. So you include guys like myself that love the crossbow. So that's great.
Same people who did this one.
Love it. And then number two, whoever created the shirt that you guys are saying, that says "That's what he shed" deserves a raise.
We're fortunate.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
To work with some creative folks.
It's great. But you do. You got a lot of good information on the website. Actually, some really cool gear to go and buy as well. I mean, I'm looking through the different shirts and stuff that you guys have. It's pretty creative stuff. I like it.
Well, and if you shoot, I don't care what kind of bow you shoot, but if you shoot any length of time and then you're starting to approach 50, like some of us might be, you start to, every once in a while, you develop an elbow issue or shoulder issue, right? Back issue from time to time. So I'm fortunate to have gotten to know a local chiropractor who's not much of a chiropractor. He is a chiropractor, but he does more like training work. So he's helped me kind of build that strength so I don't injure myself so much shooting the bow. And that was my Christmas gift to him. Was the membership in one of the gift boxes.
Awesome.
And he was over the moon. He's a lifelong bow hunter. He's now doing a lot of suburban bow hunting here, north of Atlanta, and kind of helping communities in that way. But I swear to God, I thought this guy was going to cry when he got this thing. It was great.
Yeah. I'd love to, when we get you on again, really talk about as this evolves a little bit more, what it is that Bowhunter United is really, you know, doing. I know that you guys are looking at doing a lot of advocating out there in the industry,
yep,
legislation and otherwise. And I think there's a lot of really good topics out there for the bow hunting industry to really dive into. And that is one of the things, I mean, we talk about on this show every now and again, just the nature. We're in Michigan, right? So we know Michigan very well in regards to what's going on. And there's been some things that have happened, you know, within our own, you know, rules and regulations for the hunting industry that we question. Like, is this legit? Is this, you know, is this the way the industry going? What are other states
makes
doing?
This choice?
Yeah, and that's what I love is that you guys can
these bring guys all that
together from, very uninformed.
From a perspective. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, and important. I hate to go down that rabbit trail, but I'll do it.
Well, that's, see,
come on in.
You ate yeah. the carrot, my friend.
Really important when you guys hear about something like that, and anybody listening to that, when you hear about an issue like that, if it's a hyper local issue, we might not be able to help, and it might right. not be something that we can engage on. But at least let us know. Right? Because if one state is considering something, I guarantee you others have thought about it, because yeah. those state directors all talk. They all know each other. That's why Dan Forster is such a value to us, because he sat in that seat here in Georgia for so many years. They all know each other. They all talk. And if one state is talking about it, if one state's board is talking about it, there are others talking about it. So you let us know anytime you hear that. And like I said, we can't dive in on every issue, but
right.
the goal for BU is that at some point, maybe we can, you know, maybe there is an action alert that can go out and you can email your state legislature to address an issue that's hyper local and of concern to bow hunters, not necessarily industry, but to a bow hunter. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's also an important distinction. Do you guys as bow hunters agree 100% with what a manufacturer wants to do? You don't. And the manufacturer doesn't necessarily agree 100% with what a bow hunter wants to see happen in conservation or within their marketing plan, right?
Yeah.
So how can these two work? Well, the goal here, and I've said this to others before, the goal here is to stand up Bow Hunters United and teach it to a point where it can run on its own. Yeah. That's the goal. It needs something to stand it up, and industry is standing it up right now. But the intent here is to create a community of bow hunters that can speak for themselves. And that's where we expect to get
pretty needed. And I love it. And I love it because there are so many times that within the bow hunting community, there's a lot of infighting that occurs. I think that stuff like this that builds a community amongst hunters and specifically bow hunters can do nothing but good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
So Matt, last couple of things I want to ask you about. Number one, how are you doing?
Great.
Get work. How's things going?
Great. I did not hunt this year. You know, that was me putting family guilt on, you know, my wife works as well. And her business has been really good, surprisingly. But you know, she's not able to get out and do her thing. Our daughter was not able to get out. You know, she's in her senior year of high school and not able to really go and do the things that a senior does.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And so I didn't feel right about going. And I did a bad thing. I've been feeding deer and getting deer on the game camera in the backyard for so long that now my wife is on the verge of naming them, and so I can't kill them. I'm continuing to work that because
what do they call that when you're with your kidnapper so long that you start to feel like part of them? I forget what they're
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah,
right?
That's what it is. Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I am guaranteeing not you, the audience, but myself that I am killing a deer in my yard next season.
There we go, man.
Not going
it.
Through another season. These things were out here terrorizing me yesterday evening as I was working on the
you got a desk. Lot of wood in the background. You better knock on that wood because you never know what's going to happen, even though you're going
to. I know. So no, I intend to get back at it with a vengeance, and I don't know if I'll fill my 10 antlerless and 2 bucks next year here in Georgia, but I want to get close here, and I'd love to do it in my own backyard.
I love it, man.
But yeah, having not hunted, I have been shooting the target bow a lot more, which has been great. I love it. And that's always really been kind of mental health. I did shoot in a league a little bit, an adult league a little bit, back in Texas before we moved here. And there is a great league here just a few minutes from me at the gun club. But, I'm not, for me, it's about, I'd rather just stand on the line alone and just not think about anything, but just, you know, trying to beat whatever I did the day before.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Matt Corman, ATA, appreciate, man. We know you got to go. You're busy. Go hang out with those kids, man.
Appreciate the heck out of you guys. Really. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for the work you do educating your audience and being a great partner to us and just being a great voice for bow hunters out there, wherever they might be. Really appreciate the heck out of you guys.
Thanks, Matt. You guys have a good one. Appreciate it. I'm interested to see, you know, and I don't, the issue I think before Matt and what's going to happen, I think for him and what makes it confusing is he might not have a choice on what's going to happen in Indiana, right? Because there are going to be rules and regulations and things around the states and all that with COVID and all that. So, I mean, it might not be where they actually have a choice. They have to plan something, but, you know.
Yeah, I see it more as an advocacy group, right? I mean, a group that can bring a common idea from the members and have people that are pushing those ideas within the legislature. Right. A lot of what happens like on the federal government side where you have companies that are going after, you know, senators and congressmen to try and get their points across. I think that can be the real benefit of something like this. Now, to me, if I was going to put a hurdle in place, the honest to God hurdle that I see is that there is still a lot of infighting within the bow hunter community. Right. Yeah. There's people that believe that traditional is the only way to go. There's people that believe, you know, compound's the only way. And we've talked about this point many times. There's people believe that crossbows cheating and air bows shouldn't be allowed. You know, so it's that type of, you know, trying to break through all of that noise as to what is this really about. And at the end of the day, our message, I think, along with what I hope their message would be, is that it's hunting, guys. It's hunting,
and that's what it's about getting people
outside. Yeah. So it's not about your views of how you should take a deer or take an animal. It's the view of the heritage, period, and preserving that heritage.
Yeah. Like I always said, you pay for a tag, you paid for the deer. It doesn't matter what you use to get the deer.
Right.
But that actually wasn't what I was talking about. I was talking about the ATA show going forward or not going forward.
I think by then states like Kentucky and Indiana won't have that big of a mandate anyway.
Well, that's what I'm just, all I'm saying is it's not necessarily going to be in their court necessarily. All they can do is plan.
But I think all you can do is plan for the best, you know, plan it out so that you hope for the best, but plan for the worst at the same time. I mean, I think they've probably learned a lot of lessons over this last year. To say, yeah, we're gonna bank on having an in-person show. There's nothing indicating at this point that we're not gonna be able to, but they're gonna have to have a plan B in their back pocket.
Yeah, there may be a lowered limit than last time, right?
Yeah, you know what kind of restrictions are gonna be in place. COVID-20 might hit at that point too. Who knows?
You just don't know what's gonna happen now with the way the world is today now after all this. But I will say this, you know, if the ATA was to open full bore, and let's say that the ATA is allowed to go, you know, unlimited people, whatever, you know, 20,000, whatever the max is for those buildings, I personally think with the amount of money these companies are making today, like, because they're selling everything, that you're gonna see the ATA rocking and rolling like it's never been.
Everybody's going to want to go this year.
And not just go, but like they're going to come hot and heavy spending cash, like, you know, big billboards. And I mean, I don't think you're going to see, like, I think when everybody can go, I guarantee you it's going to be big again, like it used to be. Like when Bowtech had a Harley Davidson come in and they're throwing bows out and giving shirts everywhere. And, you know, it'd be big explosions. And honestly, I think it's going to come. I think you're going to see, with a lot of this money that's being made today in this industry, you're going to see them spending a lot more.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of pent up excitement about it. I, you know, as big as what it once was, I think, you know, my gut feeling says, you know, a lot of these companies have moved away from the big launch day that used to happen at ATA, right? They used to have huge launch. ATA was the day that everybody launched, right?
Yeah.
Now you got a lot of people launching early before, you know, a lot of people are launching in October and November. And unless they get away with that, there's not a lot of big, you know, there's not a lot of big hype products that you can, that you're going to be launching at ATA unless you're ready to premiere your 2022s.
Not yet. But what I'm saying is if they know it's coming and they're going to go hot and heavy, they will all keep something to launch.
Right.
Not all of them, but right. I know for sure, like Botech, I know they'll keep something to launch for that show. And yeah.
I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, I'd be excited to go, you know, part of me, you got to think like, okay, maybe if they are even open up, are there going to be other regulations? Like in order to get in, you have to have a vaccine card. You know, and is that going to be a rule going forward? And if that happens, is our industry the group of people that aren't going to get that by and large? You know what I mean? In regards to their political views or personal views or whatever. So I think there's still a lot of X factors there. But, you know, if it's able to be as open as possible with little restrictions, I think it's going to go extremely well.
Could this be, I feel like over the next couple of years, like I kind of want to have, I think one of these years come up, we really should have our own booth. Like, I'd really think I'd like that ATA show. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, this whole COVID thing has helped us.
Oh, it helped us.
The virtual stuff that they did with us, number one, but number two, that shift in the industry to move towards online digital content, it really, I mean, to me, it accelerated by 5 years, what we saw happen.
Right. Sure. It was funny how long were we saying that and nobody's listening.
We've been saying that for
still doing, you know, magazine ads, still dropping, you know, 100K on,
I mean,
on
like
TV shows.
I think it'd be extremely exciting and fun to have an actual booth at the ATA show. I really do. And if we were to do that, I think we would definitely have to invest in like a really nice clothing line to sell. Cause that's what we would sell there, you know, is like clothing to pro shops that would sell it at their pro shop at a dealer pricing or whatever. But I think it would be very cool because, you know, you'd see our hats and shirts and stuff like that all over the country, you know, in different spots. And who knows, you get one big dealer come in and say, you know what, we'll take 10,000 and put them everywhere. You know what I mean? You just don't know. It's not about the money. I'm not suggesting like, oh, we're making this money on shirts and hats. No, I'm just saying it'd be fun to go participate in that type of business, you know, and like, you know, sell some shirts, hats, but also talk to people in person. You know, there's a lot of pro shops that see our videos, lots of them. Yeah. And they say, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. This guy's okay. Or I hate this guy, whatever. But at least you can have those conversations in person.
Whether we do or don't, we say it like we mean it. And that is, you know, for right or wrong, the normal bull hunter.
I don't care. I know it doesn't bother me. I would love having conversations. I don't know my stuff as much as a lot of people. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying it would be nice to see people in person and talk about different products that are there and have like a little booth in our booth of podcasting, have Elite come over, have Botech come over.
It makes it much easier to schedule it that way than
trying
to bust in when they're trying to sell stuff. So
correct. Yeah. And you even have do it live, right? So you can ask people can ask questions right then and there live, you know, Bowhunter Plant live at the ATA show. It'd be kind of exciting. Or maybe ATA, Matt, maybe ATA will have an area we could go live in that's made for that. Like you guys did last year or 2 years ago, right? You guys did a talking live thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But maybe we can get our own little table area where we can go live. That's, you know, maybe partially in the building and partially live online.
What we should do is set up a secret location, right? And so we'll do a giveaway.
Ted Nugent.
In order to win the giveaway, they have to find our secret location. It'll be like a scavenger to find us,
and you have to find clues, and the clues like take you to Botech to look at their bows, the bear.
Go over to Botech right now. Ask him for this, and then on the back of it, it'll have a clue.
You shoot the bow, and then once you shoot the bow, you go pull the arrow.
I like
it. The clue behind it.
I like it.
This is getting intriguing.
You do a little scavenging, so we'd be the prize.
The prize is us. Yeah. The new bow.
I think we should make a shirt with Tim's face on it, like a flesh colored one, like that Tide commercial.
We should do another. Ensemble like we did for the skin on the trailer.
Yes, that was fun. I love doing that kind of stuff. To me, that's like, we should just pick out new outfits, start looking online, we'll find some funny stuff to wear.
All right.
I love doing that kind of stuff. I think that's
Stone Cold Steve Austin for Jamie.
You guys have no idea how much I can use that stuff though. Like when those are done, like they become part of everything. You can take someone out, put them here, put them there, put them here, put them there, put them there. You know, it just makes it a lot easier for promoting things that we're doing, you know, to have all that.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
So that's something we definitely need to do soon, like in the next couple months here. Cause I, you know, for coming up this year, it's going to be a busy year. I'm telling you guys. So like I was saying earlier, Tim, I don't know if you caught it earlier, but you know, we take July off as usual. We do like a summer break and then, we'll pre-do videos during that time and audio for you guys. And what we'll do now is the next couple of weeks, we'll film multiple podcasts about different specific topics that we'll launch during that time while we're out. But we'll take a couple weeks off and reset. And then a lot of, you know, it's been a strange year because, like I said, we don't even have expedition bows yet. Like a lot of the bows aren't even here yet.
Right.
And it's just really slow and trying to get this stuff in. And unfortunately, it's taking time and it's become kind of just a lot different for us. Not normal.
Yeah. It's going to come hot and heavy for sure.
Correct. Normally, this would be the latest we'd ever get any bow for review. So, like right now, we are long past. You know, PSC isn't here. That was already on. It's still on order. And I'm sure the marketing bows just keep getting bumped back, you know? So that's kind of what's happening. But,
yep.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to do a bow battle royale this year. It's put me in a weird spot. I really want to do this battle royale 2021, but, you know, I might just have to do it just based on information I find online.
I mean, that's possible, right?
That grip
looks
awesome.
That grip looks awesome.
You could do a stat comparison.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
For sure. So.
And I can still compare the ones we've done. We've done probably 80%. No, I'd say 60% are done.
Yeah.
So it's not that we couldn't do all of them, but anywho. All right.
Awesome, man.
That was the ATA, Matt Corman, the fearless leader of the ATA. And
love Matt, man. Such a great guy.
He's awesome, man. I love having him on. He's been on a few times now. And, you know, it's great because he doesn't sugarcoat it. He kind of jumps right to it. And that's why I asked him straight up, you know, what's going on, right? Just tell us what's going on. Let's get through the hard part.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is that he is so open to criticism. Right. He knows that they're not doing everything right. He said that himself. Yeah. We came away with certain aspects of what went on with pages of notes as to what we could do better. Yeah. That right there tells you how good that leadership is.
Yeah.
When they say no, I mean, you said it was good, Tim. That's great. We thought it could have been better. How amazing is that for a leader?
Yeah.
And when we first met Matt, I think he was on, we were back in the studio maybe 2 years ago. When he first came on the show, at the end of the show, we actually talked to him about things we didn't like about ATA and things that we had issues with. And he listened to everything and it was just all, you know, it's us nitpicking, right? But we're like, you know, we think the ATA should be doing this, but guess what? They're doing that. The media summits, that's part of those conversations in the beginning. Like, why aren't we doing like something where you're getting everybody involved? And sure enough, you know, as invite comes to Boner Planet, hey, join us on the media summit, right? So he's not only listening, but taking actions that were never done before. I mean, I've never talked to an ATA employee until I met him.
Right.
And so I feel like he's really, and now I talk to all of them all the time. So I think he was a huge blessing for our industry and the right guy to run that for sure. And now
Absolutely. He's
been put into this hard spot because this is not normal. Normally he runs an ATA show. Now all of a sudden there's no ATA show because of this pandemic, right? So
yeah, but I couldn't think of a better person to be truthful and open with their members to be able to work through this, understanding that nobody knows what could really happen, right? Yep. You got to plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Absolutely. And I would suggest anybody who has, you know, any negative feelings about ATA or things they don't like about it, just tell them. They're so open, and that might actually, you know, change something they're doing that might help the better, and at least in your mind, and maybe not, but you know, hey, like I said, it's different than I've ever experienced working with the ATA over the years. So it's been great. It's been a great
feeling. Very good, man.
Very excited. So anyway, that's it. Bye-bye. We'll see you guys next time.
Hey, guys. It's Dave from the Boner Planet Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please give it a like and a thumbs up. Share it with a friend, and let's help build archery together. Also, special shout-out to Dead Down Wind and Tinks for title sponsoring the show. And also all of our other great sponsors. You can find all of them in the link below on this podcast and or in video on YouTube, Facebook. There will be links below. Thanks for watching. We love you guys. Take care and be safe.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the Adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.